tend to believe rain means I can now drive extremely fast because I have a four-wheel drive vehicle and it's up off the ground. I will tell you that there are some floodwaters that will wash that, turn that four-wheel drive vehicle into a boat. All right? But I my concern is even more different because you live in a district, you live in a gap, you know that, you know every pothole in that gap that you live in or the area that you're from. And so you literally could walk home with it being pitch dark outside at night. And so if the rain falls, water is no waist height. And you decide, you know what, I'm going to go take a walk through this water because I know this road and I know where every hole, nook and cranny is. Have you considered, however, that the force of this water has now lifted the cover off one of those manholes in the same gap to which you are so accustomed to, and now you have rather than walking in waist height water, you're now submerged in water above your head, inside a canal or whatever that you cannot get out of. Or even worse, and this extends even to now that we are moving in an area where some of these vehicles are now electrically charged. So we've got vehicles that are battery powered that gives off a fair amount of electricity.
Yeah, that's it.
Yes.
Or the gap that you are in is fine. However, there's a down power line in the gap adjacent. Mm-hmm. And that down power line has now energized that entire volume of water. Correct. And you step into that water and you have now been cooked. Correct. And I just want Barbadians to be a little bit more careful in the things that we do. There are things that we do in this life that we can smile and laugh after. And there are things that we do in this life we will never recover from. And so, as I said, usually when I used to do this program every year, every week, I would always say, I'm not trying to scare you. And Natasha would jump in and say, yes, we are. Because if we scare you and into understanding what we're saying, maybe you won't do it again. And I just want persons to understand how easily the life that we cherish can be snuffed out. I like to use this emphasis, even if you don't do it for you, do it for your loved ones. Stop playing in floodwaters. Stop trying to drive through floodwaters. Stop trying to surf in high waters. You're not going to find me doing any of those things because I can't swim. But I want you guys to understand how extremely dangerous it can be if you go playing in that type of water, because it can kill you. Long and short of the story, it can snuff your life out. And so, as I said, well, and we've been having extremely strange weather. Everybody said they want a 2020 do-over. I said, no, I really, really want to do another 2020. But the year 2020 has been so different and so strange from the accepted norms that I just want us into 2021, because we don't know what that will bring. And I pray, and I know Christy J is very, very religious, and I hope she will help me pray that 2021 is absolutely nothing like 2020. But yes. I'm just saying that if we want to finish out 2020 strong and live into 2021, just remember these things that myself and Station Officer Heather has just mentioned to you. Be very careful of what you do, especially when you're out in flood waters. And as he was talking, it was very, very interesting that he said he drove from from St. Michael to St. Thomas to St. Lucie, and how the weather changed and changed drastically in that short space of time. So just be careful out there, people.
Wow, that's, as you said, a very passionate plea, and one that we really, really need to take heed to. And even though we think of floodwaters, we think of flooding, but we usually think of the Sudan vehicles driving through. But as you said, the four-wheel drives, you know, you talked about them driving faster. But I want to know, Officer Edwards, you mentioned, yes, the fact that water 6 inches, at least, mm-hmm, 6 inches or more, can, mm-hmm, cause your vehicle to float. But you're, mm-hmm, talking about the smaller vehicles, correct?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. All right. So then, but you're also giving the warning to the bigger vehicles, the four-wheel drive vehicles, because they may not be able to properly estimate the height of the water.
You know, it's so very difficult that when you are going to be going through water, if there is a vehicle that is ahead of you, it gives you a good gauge as to what you're dealing with. Because I'm from the real world. Huh? I know that, yes, you can be caught on the road when these things can happen. But there are vehicles ahead of you, and you have the perfect gauge to determine what is the height of the water. And if you cannot remember the 6 inches, just look at the person's tire or the mud splash. And if you can see that water up about half the height of the tire, then you know that it is about that point that it is quite dangerous. That's one. I have said already that it is very important to recognize that you can also have what we call sudden releases, meaning that the water might have been trapped somewhere upstream, and then all of a sudden it increases quickly. But to go back to something that Station Officer Vaughn said, yes, indeed, it is a challenge sometimes to get the door open, especially on the floor side of the water. Yes, however, if it is possible, if it is at all possible, then that can help you in some ways, because it will be important to open what we call the passenger front door, if you can, and the driver's door, because that will allow two things to happen. It will allow the vehicle to get additional weight. And because you now have this additional weight, it might prevent the vehicle from actually going over the embankment. But it also allows the water to pass through the vehicle, providing that it is not taking you along with it.
Yes.
That is one of the dangers. On that particular day, the guy that had owned the other vehicle that was actually caught in the water, he was quite lucky, because what happened, he drove into the water and his vehicle actually lodged on what we call a stone in the Barbadian term, we say a big rock.
Wow.
So that kind of prevented his vehicle from suffering the same fate.
Wow.
So I just want to say to people, though, that if you must travel through water, it is important, number one, and I'm not asking for anybody to go and try this. I am not suggesting that at all. But try to keep in the center of the road. Because of the curved nature of the road, you will find that that is going to be the part of the rule that is going to be safer for you, because if you go to the extreme left or right, that is where you're going to have the highest waters. So I just wanted to make that point.
And to just be patient.
Yes.
That's one of our problems. That is one of our problems. We are not patient.
I just wanted to add that, and we were talking about if you can't do better. And I just wanted to add something there real quick. That if you needed to, if you had to, if it was absolutely necessary for you to cross over in what we call rapid water, if it was absolutely necessary for you to do that, it would be advisable to try crossing that water at an angle. And by that I mean, rather than trying to cross straight across, which is they said the shortest area between two points is in a straight line. But if for instance, rather than trying to cross across straight, you make up in your mind, I'm going to cross this, but I'm going to cross it at an angle that I want to end up 10, 12, 15 feet down to, that might be the best way to do it. I'm not advocating that you have to cross swift water. I'm just saying that that is the best way that we suggest that you cross swift water, because if you try to, you can't swim strong enough or walk heavy enough to be able to cross some of this water to which we are referring to. I don't know how many of us have ever seen or saw the videos of some of this water to which we were referring to that brought us here this morning. This afternoon, sorry. But I just want us to understand the power of the natural power of water. And you can't, and oftentimes a lot of these things, what we're seeing is the end result of somebody doing something upstream that was not necessarily the best thing to do. Water has a course, and water will take that course. And if you stop that water from from going the course it's accustomed to, it will find you another course, which may very well
that's
be
right.
underneath somebody's color.
That's right.
Somewhere where you've never seen water. So as we develop, inverted commas, as we develop as a country or as an island, we have to be very wary of water courses. And I think I've said this, I can't remember if it's this forum, but I've said this before. If you are going to purchase a piece of land, those of you, Jason, and those fellas who plan to buy houses and very soon, I would suggest that you wait until it rains very, very heavily and then go have a look at that plot of, that plot of land that you want to buy, because it may very well be an Olympic-sized swimming pool.
Yeah.
So all these are little tidbits that you can, because once you've invested your money, and as I was saying this, I remember going to do a fire safety speech in a residential neighborhood, and I saw a crater, a plot of land, and I'm not exaggerating. There was a you could see that the person was excavating for foundation. This thing had to be at least 12 to 15 feet deep. What had happened is this person had bought this piece of land, was going to build a house on it, and the excavator went down, they found mud, and they excavated again, and they found mud. And they went down nearly 12 to 15 feet to realize that this was not going to be a place to where they were going to build their house. And so you need to be able to do a little bit of legwork before you invest $200,000 and buying a piece of land that can very well end up being in the way of water to which needs to get to the sea or wherever it's going.
Wow. Listen, this is really good food for thought, and I'm hearing your impassioned plea, and we really, really appreciate your perspective on this. Fire and Life Safety Officers, any last words?
Not really at this point. I think the officers would have said most of it, or said nearly all of it. I'm not sure how successful it will be in getting them to come back again, because I know S.O. Edwards has a lot more to say, and so does Vaughn. And we can hear this half an hour is not enough. No. time. I'll see what I can do for next week. I'll talk to them and see what we can do. But there is information. And as we said, we're not just about responding to fires. People seem to think because the name says fire service, that is all we do. We're here again, preventative measures. If we can prevent these things from happening, then it means we can spend time doing other things out there. So again, I'm going to make a plea with them. Apart from the $100 that I've already committed to a children's charity, regarding there be no house fires for the month of December. I'm also going to see if we can probably give them a $20 to buy lunch if they can come back next week.
All right.
No. That $100 is going towards the party we're having at your house for your birthday.
Oh, all right. Oh, man, listen, you know, we can go on, but hopefully we'll have you again really, really soon.
Problem.
And we thank you much, Acting Station Officer Wayne Vaughn, Station Officer Patrick Edwards, Fire and Life Safety Officers Jason Collins, Kevin Sobers, and Natasha Ford. And I am Krista J. Paul, wishing you a wonderful afternoon. And as we always say,
fire prevention is our intention.
And that's it. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye
all.
Protecting life and property.
Depend on the Barbados Fire Service 311.